The Lord has shown us in this study how He wants us to approach His Word. He desires that His Word would teach us, that it would reprove us, that it would correct us, that it would instruct us in righteousness, that we would be equipped for every good work. If you are willing, if your heart is prepared to please the Lord, and the Lord only, we can go confidently before Him and ask Him to accomplish His will through our study today. So if your heart is prepared, please pray with me, Father. Because of who You are and what You have done, we do desire the work, Lord, that You desire for us. Father, as we are in Your Word, may it accomplish all for which You have sent it forth, that You would be glorified, Your people would be built up. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we went through the portion of God's Word last week, we put an emphasis on what Paul the Apostle, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, instructed his disciple Timothy. Fulfill your ministry. And the emphasis must be seen as God's Word, not just to Timothy, but to us. We know this because in his Word, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, imitate me, even as I imitate Jesus Christ. This is stated many other places. The life and the ministry of the Apostle Paul was not given to us just as something that we should study, but as something that we study to the end, that we set it before us as our example, that we do as Paul did, even as much as Paul did, as Jesus did. Fulfill your ministry. Ministry simply means service, to serve. All of us are called to serve the Lord by serving within the body of Christ as He places us, as He gives us the ability, the giftings, the call to serve there. So although our callings are unique and individual, we all serve together in one body, and one pattern is sufficient to show all of us the way as we serve. It is the pattern first established by the Lord Jesus Christ, taught to those who would follow after Him, and then taught to us here this day. To know that you are doing that correctly, and the reason that God has given us a pattern, we can see from the example Paul signs of effective ministry. The first one that we see in our passage today is in verse 7 and 8. Paul has said in verse 6 that I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. That's a reference to the Old Testament sacrificial system when they offered the sacrifice of the lambs. A drink offering specified by the Lord was poured out, and it was poured out last. Paul knew that of all of the ministry that he had accomplished, all of his service to the Lord and to all the people that the Lord had directed him to, yet the last of it, or the end of it, was at hand. In verses 7 and 8 we read, Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Paul was aware that he was at the end of his ministry. He was aware that his life was serving as the Christ-like example for which God had called him. Therefore he wrote, imitate me even as I imitate Christ. One of the signs of effective ministry, when you do, after you have determined to do it, to please God, and you do it with the power He supplies, is found here in the Apostle Paul. You will know. You will have assurance that you are doing it correctly. Paul knew he had fought the good fight. He knew he had finished the race. How do we know? You know the same way you know that the Lord has saved you. First, God Himself, the Holy Spirit, testifies to your spirit that you are His child. Paul had the assurance of the Spirit of God, and also we know by the Word of God. When we are led by the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God speaks to us, and He does, and He is, it never is in contradiction to the clear, understandable teaching of the Word of God. And in that way, we can always be sure. Because it is important to everyone who the Lord has saved to be well-pleasing to the Lord, we should be relieved to know. You can know. And when you are honest before God, you know when your life, which is your ministry, lived in the way that the Lord has directed you to live it, is well-pleasing to the Lord. And the Lord Himself will guide you in His Word. So the first sign of an effective ministry, when you are doing what God has called you to do, the way that God wants you to do it, you know it. The second sign of an effective ministry is people will forsake you. They will leave you. When you do everything that God has given you to do to please the Lord, and you do it the right way, people will leave you. Verses 9 and 10. The apostle writes, "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me." Now, we believe from the text that in regards to Crescens, in regards to Titus, they were going as appointed, as led by the Lord. But Demas, he carefully did the calculation. Cost, benefit, live sacrificially now for the Lord to please Him, or live now to please myself. Demas left. If someone left Paul, who was doing everything correctly, they will leave you too. Why? Because they did with Jesus. We should remember every one of these things that we see is exactly what we see in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus knew that He was doing the right thing. He didn't have doubts. Is this what the Father wants me to do? For Jesus said, "The Father is always with me because I always do that which pleases Him." Jesus knew. And in the same way as Paul modeled the behavior, he knew. People left Jesus. Did they not? People left Paul. The third sign of effective ministry by which you can be assured you are doing everything correctly and God has put His seal of approval on what He has called you to do is you will enjoy the fellowship of the faithful. Verse 11 and 12, we read, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus." People who God has called will also be ministering, living their life faithfully, and you will enjoy their fellowship. But please understand, it will not be the many. It will be the few. Far, far more people will leave, even after they have stayed for a while, than will stay and minister with you. Again, Jesus spoke of the many and the few. We look first to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, fed thousands, did incomparable miracles, drew crowds like no man before or since, and at the end, 11, Well, actually, there was even that time when not even they stood by. And so in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, all in Asia have forsaken me. Multiple missionary journeys. Only the Lord knows how many churches he used, Paul, to establish, how many people came to conversion, the multiplied thousands. And Paul would say at the end, all in Asia have forsaken me. Only Luke is with me. We see a few other faithful, but he is in close, precious, and necessary fellowship with. And that is why we understand, according to Scripture, that you also need to be in fellowship with the faithful. To say that is not to say that the Lord cannot sovereignly move, and in one day 3,000 can come. God did that. God can do that. But let's also understand this. He didn't do that with Jesus. It's one time in Scripture. It's not repeated again. And it is not the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ to any who would follow after him. It is not the pattern that you see in the faithful. Far, far more will leave than will stay, but you will enjoy the fellowship of like-minded people who are living to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth sign in our passage this morning of effective ministry is this. No matter what God has or will accomplish through you, you will be subject to human weakness. Look at verse 13. The Apostle Paul tells to Timothy, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Bring the cloak, a heavy outer covering. Think of it as a warm coat. Paul stuck in a Roman prison just before his execution, anticipating perhaps another winter. Think about who's writing this. The Apostle Paul, the miracle-working Apostle Paul, the lay the hands on the sick and the dead come to life, Apostle Paul. The sick are healed. The miracle worker needed a coat to stay warm. Not that God couldn't keep him warm, but God chooses to use the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Why? That no flesh would glory in his presence. When God works, it is obvious that it is the Lord working. And we will see more also in just a moment. But understand, no matter what God desires to do through you, and God does gift people with miracles, healings, we read that in Scripture, but you'll still be subject to weakness, fatigue. I'll be tired. I'll be hungry. I'll be tempted to fear, to worry. All of those things, no matter how much of the power of God moves through you, no matter how much fruit is born through you, you will be subject to human weakness, even as Jesus was, who emptied himself of all of his attributes and lived as a man so that men would be saved. It makes it that much easier for people to see straight through you and to the God who alone can save them and does the works. And when that happens, again, God has said, this is an indication that this sister, this brother is doing everything right. Do not fall into the temptation thinking that you will reach a point in your spiritual walk when you will rise above human weaknesses. Not now, not here. The fifth sign in the passage of an effective, God-pleasing, God-honoring ministry is this. People will resist your message. When you do everything the right way, with the right heart, by God's power, he gives you the words that he has promised, people will resist it. Look at verse 14 with me. The Lord writes through the apostle, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. We should notice there is no personal vengeance within Paul. He leaves that defense, that judgment to the Lord. Paul doing everything right, and there's people who are going to be against it. One of the first, most painful and necessary things the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ will learn as they follow him, that they are going to receive the same sorts of things that Jesus Christ himself received. For he tells us in Scripture, a servant is not greater than his master. Think of all of the passages where people were opposing the Lord and plotting his death, and that pattern that is established for all who would come after him. Verse 15 is why, because of these things, Paul writes to Timothy, you also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Don't allow for even a microsecond some thought of bitterness. Don't think that he is the problem. We have already been taught that an Alexander the coppersmith type is just one who has been taken captive by Satan to do his will. We desire to see them, all of them, come to repentance, even as the Lord. But we understand this is not an indication that when people are opposing us, that we are doing something wrong. On the contrary, when led of by the Spirit and confirmed of by God's Word, if that's not happening to you, you need to double check and see what you are doing wrong. The sixth sign in the passage of an effective ministry is you have become like Jesus in that process of following after him. Verse 16, we read, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. We knew that was coming, but look what happens next. May it not be charged against them. Paul stated to the church in Corinth, imitate me even as I imitate Jesus Christ. And now, in like imitation, people are opposing Paul. People are leaving Paul, the very people that should stick with Paul at the time you need them the most. Who was with Jesus as he went to the cross? Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. They made professions we'd like to think that we would be there, and it was the most difficult time, but in reality, Jesus went to that cross alone. And what did he say of all, and especially those who put him there? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. If you know Scripture, if you know church history, the first martyr after Jesus for the cause of Christ listed in Scripture was Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. People could tell just by looking at him. They could see God through him. And for all of his godliness and right ministry, stoned to death by the people who opposed him. And do you remember what Acts records? After he looked to heaven and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he kneeled down as they were stoning and prayed that the Lord would not charge that sin of murder against them. Just like Jesus. And who was in attendance? The brother that the Lord used to write this, the Apostle Paul, who would say at the end, as he's been opposed, as he's been forsaken, as he's there for doing everything right and about to be executed, may it not be charged against them. The goal of the ministry that God has called you to is ultimately to make you like the Lord Jesus Christ in character. That is a sign of effective ministry. And when we do everything the right way to please God with his power, you will see that. and it will be confirmed by others will see that in you in increasing measure. The seventh sign in the passage of effective ministry, something that you will see when you do everything correctly, Jesus stands with you. Look at verse 17. Although everyone had forsaken them, all in human terms, Paul writes, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Jesus has promised, I will never leave you and forsake you, and you will not know that at any other time, such as when everyone else has left you for doing exactly that which Jesus has called you to do. In that time, you will come to know that intimate fellowship with the Lord. You will see His goodness. You will know His power as He performs His promise for you, with you, through you, to reach others. Imagine, if you will, for the Apostle Paul, everybody had forsaken him, and we should understand why this happens. The Lord allows us to experience human weakness, that we can have compassion on the others who are weak just as we are. In the book of Acts, the year is AD 60, as Paul is coming into Rome, he meets with the Jewish people, and the testimony of the Jews with to whom he has desired to relay the message is, we've heard about this sect, this religious group, that's how they referred to Christianity at that time, and it is spoken against by all the people. In other words, we've heard about Christianity and it is not popular. The year was 60 AD. In the year 64 AD, according to the historical record, Rome burned, set on fire by Nero himself because, again, as the historians tell us, he wanted to rebuild. So he burned down Rome, knowing it would have to be rebuilt the way he wanted to and needing someone to blame it on. It's always easy to get people to believe something they already want to believe. If Christianity was already unpopular, who would it be the easiest to swing the hatred of the masses to put the blame upon? The Christians. And he did just that. And in 64 to 67, we think 67, right in there, within a year, is when Paul was executed. Well, the intensity increased. They were hunting people down just because they would, without compromise, serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And they didn't just kill them, they tortured them. And all of those stories that we know about Rome were happening then. And to be identified with the Apostle Paul would be to put yourself at risk, to come right out of that safe place that you were hiding and saying, I'm one of the very ones you're looking for to kill. Paul understood that. And like Jesus, could have compassion. Again, it is that those times that Jesus stands with you. And Paul uses that very common biblical illustration, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The eighth sign of an effective ministry by which you can be assured that you're doing everything right with a heart to please God, with the power that He supplies, is you will have trained other people to do the same. In verse 18 we read, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and to preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Please notice now in the 19th verse, greet Prissa and Aquila. Prissa is the shortened form of Priscilla, that couple whom the Lord, whom Paul ministered with, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I left in Miletus sick. Trophimus, a faithful companion, a fellow minister, again, sick. God can heal everything, but God chooses not to for His glory. Please notice that. The apostle continues in verse 21, do your utmost to come before winter. Now, I think there is a side note here, so I want to point it out. It might be tempting to think that Paul is encouraging Timothy to come before winter because, after all, he is bringing the cloak, and that may be part of it. But what we also know is that winter time was the most dangerous time for anyone who would sail to sail. As a matter of fact, unless it was an absolute necessity, unless the need outweighed the risk, most mariners would keep their ships in port because it was dangerous. I suspect that Timothy would have calculated serving Paul as greater need than the risk of perishing at sea. So I don't believe that Paul was just saying, do your utmost to come before winter so I have the cloak. But in the very Jesus other-centeredness, that his needs wouldn't be putting somebody else at risk. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. Verse 22 is interesting and I believe necessary for our last point. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. The use of the pronoun your is singular, writing to Timothy, whereas the you is plural, or Paul would understand that the Lord's intention was that this letter would be read to others. How far in the future? We have no way of knowing what Paul knew, but he knew that the Lord was using this to train others, to model this behavior to others. So the last point in this that you will know you have been effective is when you yourself have been used by the Lord Jesus Christ, all of your ministry, to train others to minister the very same way that you have been trained, even as Jesus himself has modeled. We know part of that as the Great Commission. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Now there's something else interesting here on this last point as we close. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, imitate me even as I imitate Jesus Christ. But if you remember that letter, before he told them that, and we'll put these scriptures on the screen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, he wrote to them this, therefore I urge you, imitate me. And in the very next verse, for this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. And what does the Lord want to teach us today? Is there a different pattern, a different established way? Is there something more effective than what the Lord has told us to do? To use another passage, you see your calling, brethren? We're called individually, but we are all called to be disciples, learners, just like Jesus. And as we are in that process, in the individual ways that God uses us, we will also be part of this body, the church, who God is using to minister to us and minister through us to that very same end. Signs of effective ministry. We prayed at the beginning that the Lord, by His Spirit, through His Word, would teach us, would reprove us, would correct us. And that means teach us. We understand that. Reprove us. If we're not doing anything correctly, He would show us. And then correct us, show us the way that we should go, and instruct us in righteousness that we might be complete. Let's pray. Father, we come before ourselves, before you again, just to submit ourselves to you. Lord, to ask that it would be you that would speak. Lord, your word has been spoken. Not opinions, not philosophies. We stand on your promise that it will go forth and accomplish the purpose for which you sent it. We remain before you, Lord, to ask those very things. Father, have compassion on whom you will have compassion. Lord, have mercy on all those whom you will have mercy. And Father, since your word does accomplish the purpose for which you have sent it, and Father, since it has gone out, we even ask and realize, Father, harden those that you will harden. But for all that you have called here today to hear your voice, let us accept the things that you have told us, and let us put them into practice for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.